रामा हरे रामा राम राम
हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण। जय कांचनी हम आवर ओवरव्यू ऑफ द भगवद गीता स्टडी विल डिस्कस चैप्टर्स 1 टू 6 एंड द मेन थीम ऑफ चैप्टर 1 टू 6 वाज कृष्णा इज लीडिंग फ्रॉम कर्मयोग टू भक्ति योग। So he shows how Gyan Yoga is impractical and whatever results that will come from Gyan Yoga will also come through Karma Yoga, which will lead to either Ashtanga Yoga or Bhakti Yoga if one wants to attain liberation. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that the Bhagavad Gita is like a treasury box. The treasury box is the upper lid and the lower base, and in between are the jewels. So like that he says, the lower part are the first six chapters, which are talking about karma. The upper six upper layer are the chapters 13 to 18, which talk about jnana. And the middle six chapters are the actual treasury, which talk about bhakti. Actually speaking, it is not that Bhagavad Gita's first six chapters talk about karma and last six chapters talk about jnana. All the chapters ultimately culminate in bhakti. But the first six chapters show how karma leads to bhakti, and the last six chapters show how jnana leads to bhakti. Now, in the middle six chapters, the sixth chapter ended with the declaration that among the yogis, the bhakta, the yogi who always thinks of Krishna in his heart, is the greatest. The seventh chapter is called as knowledge of the absolute. Seventh chapter starts with first describing pure devotional service. Krishna ended this chapter by saying that yogi who thinks of me, yogi nam sarvesham, he is the best. In the seventh chapter, first verse, Krishna offers an alternative way to think of him constantly. The seventh chapter first verse is Mahiya satta manha partha yogam yunyan madashraya asamshayam samatram maam yatha yansiti tachyunam. In the Veda ways, this is the verse on which Prabhupada has given maximum lectures in the Bhagavad Gita as compared to any other verse, 7.1. Very important verse. Of course, Prabhupada spoke on Savadharmana Sattvija also. He referred to Savadharmana Sattvija a lot as a selection for a verse to give a lecture on. This is among the most frequent, if not the most frequent. Of course, we can't say positively because not all of Prabhupada's Hindi lectures are in Veda ways. But among what is available, this seems to be most frequent. So, what does this verse say? This verse is saying that Maya Sattamanaha. How can you make your mind attached to me? Hear that Vajana. Because the previous chapter says, the yogi who always thinks of me is the best. But now, Arjuna had said at that time, this method is very difficult. So, Krishna takes that into account and tells Arjuna, I will tell you another way by which you can make your mind attached to me. Such true, hear about that. And he will talk about bhakti. Now, to perform bhakti, one has to be convinced about the greatness of God. Why would he want to serve anyone if he is just another ordinary person? Therefore, to help us to understand the glory of the object of bhakti, the person who we are serving in bhakti, Krishna speaks his own glory. So, here there are a series of verses. Krishna says, the whole material and spiritual world are my energies. And then he describes that there is no truth higher than me. This is that verse. Mattaha parasara nahanya. It's a very strong word that Brahmajyoti is not higher than me. I am the highest. And after that, Krishna describes how he pervades all of existence. Asoham of Sukhamdeya. And so Prabhupada was in Vishakhapatnam. At that time, the place where Prabhupada was staying, it was the Gaudiya Math Ashram. So from there, the sea, the ocean was close by. So one day Prabhupada said, let us go to the ocean for bathing. And all the devotees also went in, and they were bathing, and they had the habit of swimming earlier. And they were swimming, and they were thinking, this is Krishna, how is she doing? She's still great, swimming around, splashing water on each other. And they looked at Prabhupada. Prabhupada was so peaceful and joyful. Prabhupada said, he said, yes, see. He says, Krishna says, I am the taste of water. He is surrounded by water all around. Krishna says, I am the light of the sun. There is light, sun over him. Krishna says, I am a military man. Many of you are able to swim so nicely. Krishna says, I am sound in method. All of us chanting Hare Krishna. How can we forget Krishna?
And the reality is, we never thought of all these things. So, actually, Krishna is
his immanent features. Immanent means his presence within nature is called as immanence. His presence beyond nature is called as transcendence.
So,
here we talk about immanent features. Our four verses describe 12 attributes of Krishna, how he is present in nature. So, here, Krishna is talking about how he is the essence of everything. How he is the ability in man, how he is the power of asceticism of the ascetic. And then he concludes by telling, I have only some examples, but actually everything that exists is a combination of three modes, and three modes are under me, I am not in them. And after saying how three modes control everything, Krishna tells how these three modes are very difficult to overcome. And then actually Arjuna gets the question, Krishna, you know, if you permit everything like this, why can't people know you? And then Krishna answers that in 7.13. He says, Tadribhirgunamayai bhavai lemi sarvamidam jagat mohitam navijanati mohitam navijanati. Well, three modes cover, so people can't understand that I am everywhere. I am pervading all my existence. And Arjuna actually gets the question, okay, three modes are covering everyone, how can this covering be removed? And then Krishna speaks the famous verse, Taiviyesha Gurumai. If you surrender unto me, then you will cross beyond the sea. And Arjuna feels, it's so easy to go beyond these three modes and surrender to you, so why don't people surrender me? And then Krishna describes the category of people who don't surrender. Tamam Nishanti no Guna. And there are four kinds of people, the demoniac people, the foolish people, the materialistic people, the deluded intellectuals, all these people don't surrender. Then after telling that, Arjuna says, what do you know this? So many people don't surrender. Are there any people who surrender also or not? Because there are four categories of people who surrender. And he describes those four categories. And interestingly here, Krishna says among these four categories, the Jnani is the best. Now, why does he call Jnani the best? Chakravarti Padma is a beautiful explanation. Because this Yatesham Jnani is the Yukta Eka Bhakti Vishishyate. So, in 7.17, when he describes this, that among all these, the Jnani who is the Eka Bhakta. That means he is a jnani in name only, but he is actually practicing bhakti. He was practicing jnana earlier and now he is practicing jnana vishra bhakti. Jnana vishra bhakti means what? One is practicing bhakti, but there is a lot of jnana in it. One more intellectual than active. But the gopis are not so intellectual. What is this? What is that? Yes, what is that? Krishna means Krishna. But the jnana vishra bhakti is more attitude. Oh, this is God only. This is God understanding. This is God only. More intellectual than active. Krishna says it's better than others because others are all sakama. They want something from me. They want wealth, they want relief from distress. But this person wants to know me. That's the highest. And after describing this, Krishna says, such a, all these are good souls because all of them are coming to me. Udara sarva evaite. But among them, who is the best? Tesha, Jnani, Udara sarva Jnani, to Atmaiva me matam. And then he says, the Jnani is as good as myself. Jnani is as good as myself. I love him so much because he is not coming with any selfish motive. He is coming just to know me. Chakravarti Pada immediately quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto, that Krishna says, my pure devotee is more dear to me than myself. So the Jnani is as dear to me as myself, but the pure devotee is more dear to me than myself, Krishna says. So, Krishna's love also has great, and his love is selfless and supreme, but even the selfless and supreme love, they are great. And then he says, such a jnani will, after many lifetimes, will become a pure devotee, bahunam jnanam. And then, so Krishna has talked about those who don't surrender to him, those who surrender to him. Now, Arjuna has a question, but I know there are people who worship other devas also, what about them? They surrender, but not to you. Krishna tells about those yotas. They worship the demigods. He says that they worship me indirectly because they are worshipping my representative. And I am planning to take a class on demigod worship maybe tomorrow or day after. So I am not going into details of that. Then Krishna talks about that verse which is like a death knell for Mayavad. I quoted that today morning. Avyaktam yakti mahabanna manyante mahavya. Those who say that I was impersonal before and I became personal. They are no intelligence at all. Then in the same Krishna talking about those who worship the demigod and those who worship the impersonal Brahman. And then he says, okay, why are people distracted in so many different directions? Because Maya covers them. That was our starting point, Tripir Guna Maya Bhavati. And then I said, so many people are covered by Maya. Is everyone covered by Maya? He said, yes, everyone except one person. So who is that? He says, I.
वेदाहं समतीतानि वर्तमानानि जालिना भविष्यानि भूतानि मां तु वेदर कश्चित् लायो एवरीथिंग आई डोंट कवर माय माया
सब वे जस्ट कृष्ण ब्रैगिंग
सो आई एम सो ग्रेट
बट इट्स नॉट ब्रैगिंग एक्चुअली कृष्ण सिंपली टेलिंग द ट्रूथ फॉर द एजुकेशन ऑफ अर्जुन एंड बिकॉज हाउ डू यू नो कृष्ण नॉट ब्रैगिंग मेनी टाइम्स व्हेन कृष्ण वांट टू एम्फसाइज दैट पॉइंट ही रेफर्स टू हिमसेल्फ इन थर्ड पर्सन. That is, he will say, surrender to that Supreme Lord who is the heart of all living beings. Now, who is the heart of the Supreme Lord, the heart of living beings? He himself. But Krishna Lord, Krishna Lord always uses the word he. Just like, you know, if we are having counsel, the counselor may say, no, actually, as a good devotee should obey the counselor. You don't have to obey me. But basically, it means obey me. Now, Krishna understands that a counselor doesn't think I am a boss, but the counselor is giving a service. And he cannot perform the service of counseling the counselee unless the counselee is obedient. So, Krishna, when he wants to refer to himself in the third person, that indicates his humility. So, Krishna is not interested in his own, in bragging his own glory, but Krishna wants as the truth. And the truth has to be spoken so that Arjuna will be educated. So Krishna shows his humility by referring to himself in the third person narrative. And one more important point, why Krishna speaks his own glory so much? Actually, Krishna speaks his glory primarily to glorify Bhakti Devi. Because he wants to show, I am so great, but I who am so great are conquered by Bhakti. Therefore, how great must Bhakti be? How great must Bhakti be? So, that's like, you know, somebody is a very famous, like George Harrison, he was world famous Catholic speaker. And when people came to know that George Harrison is taking life spiritual guidance from Prabhupada, now Prabhupada is a transcendental pure devotee, he is a Mahabhagavat, but worldly minded people don't understand his greatness. So when they understand, oh, George Harrison is a famous person and he is taking guidance from Prabhupada, then they start thinking Prabhupada must be very great. So, like that, what happens is people see materials. So Krishna is telling, materially, what are my glories? But materially, Bhakti doesn't appear to be so glorious. You know, fan chanting, dancing, swimming, cannot do any gymnastics, cannot do any intellectual acrobatics. You know, it's a very simple activity. So people may think it's for sentimental people. But Krishna is saying, no. And that jnana, yoga, all those don't conquer me, but Bhakti conquers me. So Krishna speaks his own glory so that he can glorify the Bhakti. But then, after that, okay, Arjuna, Krishna, if you are not covered by Maya, how does the living entity get covered by Maya? And then he describes, Ichcha, Dvesha, Nimitta, by attachment and aversion, everything gets covered. And towards the end of this chapter, Krishna describes one more category of people who person who surrenders to him. He says, that is, Jaramara Mokshaya Mama Shityatandiye. One who understands this material existence is miserable and he wants to transcend that. He also surrenders to him. And in the last two verses, Krishna drops some terms. Brahma, Adhyatma, Adhibhuta, Adhidaiva. Sometimes, a good teacher, what he does is, when he's speaking, he will just drop some concepts which the audience won't know. And then he wants to see, is the audience really hearing attentively or they're just hearing for the sake of ritual? And that's why they drop these terms immediately. I'll say, Krishna, kim karma brahma, kim adhyatma, kim karma purushottama, adhibhuta cha kim prokta, adhidaiva vimuchya. आर्यज्ञं कथं कोऽर्थते हे श्रीमधुसूदन प्रयाणकाले च कथं केयोजनीयता श्रीयन्ते चक्र साक्षि अर्जुना आस्किंग फॉर द डेफिनेशन ऑफ ऑल द टर्म्स दैट कृष्णा ड्रॉप इन द प्रीवियस चैप्टर. अर्जुन इज वेरी अटेंटिव हियर एंड कृष्णा इज प्लीज बाय बट समटाइम्स यू नो इन अ क्लास व्हाट हैपेंस समटाइम्स पीपल आस्क यू गिव देम द माइक एंड दे आस्क थ्री फोर क्वेश्चंस एट वन टाइम एंड नाउ यू एज अ टीचर विल नो दैट which question is the most important and relevant for the audience. And you will focus on answering that. And the other thing is answer briefly. So Krishna does that. Prabhupada explains Bhagavad Gita is an emergency scripture. It's spoken with the passion field. So actually after Bhishma blows the conch shell on the Kaurava side, Arjuna blows the conch shell on this side and they are ready to fight. And suddenly Arjuna has bring the chariot in between. And they bring the chariot in between. And then Arjuna just puts aside his book. and sits down, dejected. And then everybody is surprised what is happening. And Bhishma sees that Krishna is Jnana Mudra, Krishna is in Jnana Mudra speaking. Then he signals to all his souls, stop! And all of them stop. And because of Bhishma's instruction, Bhishma is the commander of the Kaurava army, so they stop. And seeing that Krishna is not stop. And that's how both the armies are in frozen state. Why is Krishna Arjuna speaking the Bhagavad Gita? So Krishna just explains all the other terms in one sentence. And not in one sentence, one fourth of a word he explains each of the terms. And you know, explaining all those terms would take a lot of time. Krishna focuses on the most essential part, that is, how to remember him at the time of death. And that is the theme of the 8th chapter. The 8th chapter is a place where Srila Prabhupada quotes the full Hare Krishna Mahamantra 5 times in 10 verses. The purport itself, 5 times Prabhupada is quoting the Hare Krishna Mantra. Full, not to chant Hare Krishna Mantra, to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Because the theme of the chapter is attaining the Supreme. And the best way to most practically for attaining the Supreme is by chanting Hare Krishna in our eyes. So then Krishna says the principle. One remembers me at the time of death, he will come back to me. And then he will tell the principle. And whatever you remember at the time of death, you will attain that. Therefore, what should you do? Always remember me. And here, Krishna describes Ashtanga Yoga further. He says that by Ashtanga Yoga, he got Sarvadvarani Sanyamya Manorati Niratyacha Murdhyadhyatmana Pranam Asitam Yoga Dharanam. The 10th verse describes what you should do. You should pratyaha, close out all the senses. Don't look anywhere outwards. And then the Pranavayu, raise it upwards. Bring it to the Murdhana Chakra. And Murdhyadhyatmana Pranam Asitam Yoga Dharanam. And in this way, you practice yoga and you remember me and give up the body. So the yogi, their process is what? They have the prana vayu, that is all technical term, I just described it, you can't explain them here. That the prana is there, some of you may have heard also the word kundalini. Kundalini is the power which is there in the body in subtle form. So as the prana is raised upward, kundalini rises upward. And it comes to the brahmana chakra. There are different circles of energy in the body. If it comes to the Murdhana chakra, the brahmana chakra, then the yogi uses his body. So what does he do? When he concentrates all his energy and he wants to use what? Breaks his skull. And the life air around the soul comes out from there. So if the soul comes out from the head, that is considered the most auspicious. You go back to spiritual, you go back to Brahma Yogi. If it comes out from any of the upper holes, that is eyes, ears, nose, then you go to the upper planets. But if the life air comes out from any of the lower holes, to excretory organs, then you will go to the lower planets. So Krishna describes this, that you should adhyatmana pranam, put the prana in the Murdhana chakra, and then remember me and give up your body. So this section is describing yoga mishra bhakti. What is he describing? Yoga mishra bhakti. That means a person is practicing yoga and bhakti together. So such a person is practicing yoga mishra bhakti. Chakravarti Pada explains very clearly that without bhakti, one cannot obtain success in any path. Even the jnani has to attain, practice bhakti to attain realization of Brahman. Even the yogi has to practice bhakti to attain Paramatma realization. Now, but these people treat bhakti like a tool. They did, okay, you know, I want to attain success, so I worship God. Ishwara Pranidhana, that is the limb of bhakti. That is the limb of Ashtanga Yoga, but it is actually surrendered to Supreme Lord, Shri Bhakti. So, yogis do that so that they can attain Paramatma. Now, there are three terms. There is Kevala Bhakta is a pure devotee. There is a Yoga Vishwara Bhakta is a primary Bhakta, but along with that he is a yogi practice. And then there is a yogi, Ashtanga Yogi, who may also do some Bhakti Sadhana. So if he does not do any Bhakti Sadhana, he will not get any realization. So Krishna says, the remaining chapter is basically what? So, after describing this process of Ashtanga Yoga and realizing through that, Krishna says, Arjuna, I know this is very difficult, therefore I'll tell you another way. And then 8.14 is the only verse in the entire Gita that Krishna says, this process is easy. This process is easy. What is that verse? Ananya cheta satatam yogam smarati nityashah tasyaham sulabha partha yukta yukta yogina sulabha. What is the opposite word earlier? Durlabha. Where is Durlabha from? Famous verse. Pamana, Nanantri, Yanma, Mamadu, Vasya, which is an Atma who? Durlabha, very difficult, very rarely attained. The Krishna is saying, by remembering me and serving me, I am very easy to obtain. So this is the actual 8.14. Krishna is answering the concern which Arjuna raised in 6.33 and 34. 6.33 and 34, Krishna said, Arjuna said, actually this practicing mind control of Ashtanga is very difficult. Chanchalimana Krishna, Pramanjula, Balavadutasyaham, Nigraham, Manye, Vayavariva, Sudhushukara, but it's very difficult. Yes, that is Sudhushukara, but this is Sulabha. This is Sulabha. So, Krishna does not directly reject Ashtanga Yoga, but he recommends Bhakti Yoga as easier. And then, after describing this, Krishna says, yes, the person who remembers me, he will come back to me. This is the famous word, Dukkhala Vishashtamusha. And then, if you don't come back to me, you are going to suffer in this world. Then he talks about the temporary nature of material world. About how every life, even up to Brahma Loka, everything is destructible. Then actually Krishna uses the tool of contrast to teach very powerfully in the Gita. If you do this, this will happen. Do this, this will happen. So from verses 16 to 19, he describes the temporary nature of material world in the 8th chapter. Even if you become Brahma, everything is going to be destroyed. And then he introduces the spiritual world. The first explicit reference to spiritual world in Bhagavad Gita in 8.20. Three verses he talks about. One goes to spiritual world, that destination is determined. And again he says, how can you go back to spiritual? Akyalakshyatvananya. Only by Ananya Bhakti. And then this chapter's theme is what? Basically, comparison of Ashtanga Yoga and Bhakti Yoga as means to remember Krishna at the time of death. So the remaining chapter from verses 22 to 19. Until the end, 29:30. What does he describe? He says, if you have to remember me by Ashtanga Yoga, if you have to attain perfection by Ashtanga Yoga, then you have to die at a particular time. Shukla Krishna Gatiye, say Jagatai Shashati Mani. That is now in the particular phase of the moon, in the daytime, in this phase, all the time, you have to time your death properly. We don't have control over death, how can you time our death properly? So Arjuna says, it's really difficult. I know it is difficult, therefore, like say, Sruti Parthajana Yogi Muhyati Kashchana. It is my role to learn about all these things. We just practice Yoga Muhyati. And then it is concluded by saying that all the other paths, whatever blessings come by that will come to my devotee. He says that will come to Yogi, but which Yogi? Yogi Nama Sarvajana, the topmost Yogi. So in this way, at the end of the chapter, what has Krishna done? He has shown how Bhakti Yoga is better than Ashtanga Yoga. Earlier he has shown how Bhakti Yoga is preferable to Jnana Yoga. Now he has shown how Bhakti Yoga is preferable to Ashtanga Yoga. Now, just like the 3rd and 5th chapters were similar, the 7th and 9th chapters are similar. But in the 9th chapter, Krishna takes concepts deeper. So now the 9th chapter is not starting with any question. But Krishna is being spontaneous because he has glorified Bhakti Yoga so much at the end of the 8th chapter. He wants to inspire Arjuna to practice Bhakti. And therefore, he starts speaking, I will give you the most confidential knowledge. The first time Krishna will give the most confidential knowledge. He will give it 3 more times in the Gita. He says, Vitam kite gujyattam hujya tamam pramakshami. So after discovering 3 verses in which Krishna speaks the glorious knowledge that he is going to speak, then he starts speaking similar things as he spoke in the 7th chapter. His relationship with the material world. That is, Sridhara, this is the section of the Bhagavad Gita which comes closest to Achintya Bheda Bhedi. That the philosophy of Bodhi Krishnanism, it is expressed in 9.4 and 5. 9.4 and 5 are the words which are almost self-contradictory. Almost self-contradictory means, first Krishna says, Mayasatam Sarvam Jagadavya Murdinam Matthami Sarvabhutani Nachaham Deshavartita. He says, this word is like a sutra which describes Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Maya Tatamidam Sarvam Jagadavyattam Murtinam. By me in my unmanifested form, this whole world is pervasive. That refers to Brahman. Matthani Sarvabhutani. That refers to Paramatma. All the universes are sustained by me. Matthani Sarvabhutani. Nachaham Deshavastita. But I am not sustained in the universe. That refers to Bhagavan. And then Krishna suddenly contradicts himself. Nachamathani bhutani paschame yoga vaishwara. So just see my yoga vaishwarya, I am not situated in this world. Earlier I said, Mathani bhutani, Nagavatthani Bhutani. So here the difference between, subtle difference between Paramatma and Bhagavan. So this is almost self-contradictory, but it's not self-contradictory. This is called as, in philosophy, this is called as paradox. Paradox means two apparently contradictory statements are put together to convey a deeper meaning. So, for example, there are Francis Bacon's famous paradoxes that the most correct papers are the least correct. Or the least correct papers are the most correct. So, the most correct papers are the least correct. If the student writes the correct answer, then there is the least correct. And the least correct papers are the most correct. So, this is part of word jewelry, but it is meant to convey a deeper principle. Just like in the when Krishna appears in the 10th canto described, that unborn Vishnu to birth. Now, why is there unborn Vishnu to birth? Either is there that he took birth or is there that he is unborn? But why is there unborn Vishnu to birth? To make us understand that he is simultaneously beyond time and he manifests himself within time. So, paradoxes are not contradictions. Contradiction means you say two things which are contradictory and they don't make sense to them. But paradox means two things which are apparently contradictory, and the contradictory mode of presentation is used to convey a deeper truth which would have missed our understanding if it had not been phrased in this apparently contradictory way. So Krishna says, first, Mattani Sarvabhutani. There is Macha Mattani Bhutani. All men were zeroed in me, but no, they are not zeroed in me. Pashyame Yoga Maishwara. How is it possible? This is my Yoga Maishwara. This is my mystic potency by which this works out. And what is that mystic potency? Bhuta Prindhya Bhuta So Mama Atma Bhuta Bhavana. Although I have maintained of all living beings, I am not attached to them. And then Krishna gives the example of the sky. Actually, Srila Prabhupada uses the word sky to translate Akash, but Akash is ether, and ether also, so this can't imagine ether also, because there is no conception of what ether is. Time has some conceptions which is completely different from what the Vedic conception is. So, Srila Prabhupada uses approximate words to translate. And many times there are Sanskrit concepts which cannot be translated. So, Prabhupada would use, rather than trying to coin new terms, which will also be unfamiliar to people, Prabhupada would use existing word as handles, as familiar handles, although they were unwieldy and unsuitable. So sometimes Prabhupada translates, creates his own new word to translate terms. For example, devotional service, as a translation of bhakti, Prabhupada's own coinage. So this word was not there as a translation of bhakti. Earlier, bhakti was translated as this divine love. Prabhupada translated devotional service. Then Prabhupada translated Bhagavan as Supreme Personality of God. So Prabhupada's own translation. So Prabhupada would do like this for a few words. For other words, Prabhupada would use existing word. And by the use of the word, like avatar, cannot be called as incarnation. Because the word incarnation is like karna. Karna means flesh. So incarnation means to come in flesh. Now that is completely antithetical to the Vaishnava philosophy. Because when God comes, he does not come in flesh. Now, of course, when Jesus came, he came in flesh. So, Jesus coming to the world can be called incarnation. Our repeated births in this world can be called as reincarnation. But Krishna coming to this world cannot be called an incarnation. So, many devotee authors nowadays they use the word descent, a divine descent, in their books and their writings. But Prabhupada used the word incarnation because that was the word which is familiar to most of the people. But you have to know there are differences between what the way Prabhupada is using the word and the way the standard understanding is. So anyway, here Krishna describes the nature of the relationship with the material world. And then he gives the sutra. Okay, you want to understand how I am related to the word material world? Maya adhyakshena prakriti. He says, I am adhyakshata. I am overseeing. I am supervising the nature. And then, immediately after describing the relationship with the material world, because he is the overseer of material nature, whereas the Mayavadis think that he is a product of material nature. So immediately Krishna smashes Mayavadis. What is the word? Avaya Nandi Mahamura. And earlier he had said the Mayavadis are Abhutaya. Now he goes stronger, even stronger in their condemnation and says, Mohasha Mohasarmano Mohajana Chitasa Rakshati Masurim Jaiva Prakriti Mohim Shita. because they will take measure of, they will take shelter of the Rakshasi and Asuri Pravrutti. So Asuri Pravrutti is Rajasic and Rakshasi Pravrutti is Tamasic. They will generally integrate it. Then after describing this, now Krishna starts speaking his heart. He starts glorifying his devotee. Now till now, has he spoken about bhakti directly and he has not glorified his bhaktas? He has glorified Jnanis in 7th chapter. But now Krishna starts to talk about his devotee. Mahatma Partha Devim Prakriti Mahashita. So this verse is, it contrasts the Mayavadi with the bhakta. This is why devotees always think of it. And they know I am the source of everything. Then Krishna describes after that the worshippers of the Vishwarupa. Those who worship the Vishwarupa by doing various yajnas. And then he talks about Karmakanda. And again he compares demigod worship with his own pure devotees. And here comes the classic verse, where in 9.22 describes the demigod restored the result. They actually go and come back. Shine Kunya Madhila Kunjana. But what happens to my devotees? Ananyashchintayanto maam ye jana paryupasate tesham nityasmirtanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. So, Krishna says, I carry what they need and I provide what they lack. Chakravarti Pati is called vahamyaham. He says, because Krishna loves his devotees, for him to say that I arrange for their needs would not convey his love properly. So I use the word, I carry, Vahami. Then, Arjuna, so do you carry your devotees just as the way you carry the whole material world, Mathani, or Bhutani? No! The material world is a burden of duty for me. But carrying the devotees is a burden of love for me. I feel very happy. Then Arjuna, it is your love that you carry the burden of your devotees. But what kind of, what is your devotee's love? That they offer themselves a burden to you. Yeah, they should be responsible. So Chakravarti Krishna says, actually my devotees never offer their burden to me. Now my devotees are fully competent to take care of themselves. And I take care of their material needs. They don't entrust their burden on me, but I out of love for them take care of them. I carry them personally out of my love for them. And he gives the example that suppose a lover and beloved are going for a walk in a park. And now the beloved can also walk, the lover can also walk. But out of love, the lover picks up the beloved, sweeps her off her leg and carries her along. He says, like that, my devotee can walk, but I carry them personally out of my love. And then, after that, he is describing his intense love for his devotees, and he contrasts them with the Mayavadi, with the demigod worship. The demigod worship, they don't understand. Now, this verse is from there. Jeevya Anya Devata Bhaktya Yajanti Shraddhayanita. This is spiritual verse. Eti Mamyapa Kaundeya. They also worship me. But how do they worship me? Avidhi Purvakam. The improper way. And what is the Avidhi Purvakam? Let me discuss the next one. 24 verse is that I am the Lord of all sacrifices. Aham hi sarvayajnanam bhokta cha prabhurevacha. Natu mam abhijananti tatre nata chavanti. Those who do not understand that I am the Lord of all sacrifices, they fall in love. And then Krishna says, how can they fall down? They are also following Vedic rituals. You know, they are also following the Vedic scriptures which are given by you. How can they fall down? He says, no. And they are following the Vedic scriptures, but they are not following them out of love. They are following because of their own desires. Then Krishna tells the general principle. Whoever you worship, that is where you will go. Yanti Devata Devan, Sriptur Yanti Devata. And then after this, Krishna again returns back to the topic of devotion. And there are those famous Patram Krishna Palam Toyam Yat Karoshi Rasnati. And then Krishna taught. This is the first time Krishna is expressing his love for his devotees. From verses 26 to 34. Of course, 22 we talked about it, but in a sequence of verses. He says, my devotees, I love them so much that even if they commit any mistakes, still you consider them saintly. Apiche Sukaracha. Arjuna says, you know, if they are doing wrong activities, they are immoral, how can they be considered saying this? Shipram bhavani dharma. Soon they will become saintly. Soon they will become saintly. Okay, if they become saintly, it is good. But what if they don't become saintly? Krishna says, Pratijani, you declare. Pratijani is proclaim. You take bugles, and you take drums, and you take trumpets, and go in the public assembly and proclaim. My devotee will never perish. Hante Patijani Tane Sapta Pranashiti. So why does he tell Arjuna to make the promise? No, Krishna is thinking, I already made a promise that I will not raise weapons, but my devotee Bhishma is going to make me raise weapons in the future. So I will have to break my promise. So therefore I want, this is such an important point for me, and I don't want people to have any doubts about it. So I want my devotee to proclaim this. And then, first, so now in this verse, Krishna glorifies bhakti in three different ways. First thing he says is that, you know, the devotee attains everlasting results because I take care of whatever results are there. Secondly, he says, even if a devotee falls down, still he will be elevated because the bhakti is so potent. And the third thing he says, if a devotee is already fallen, bhakti can elevate him also. That means if somebody is born in Papa Yoni, and he's low ball, like a Shudra, Vaishya, or Sri, they can all be elevated by the power of bhakti. And then Krishna concludes by telling Arjuna, if bhakti is so glorious, then why should you not practice bhakti? Please, practice bhakti. And then he speaks that famous word, man mana bhav man bhakto madhyanaji mamanasu mame vaishnava bhakti utvayam atmanam mantarayana. Chakravarti Pati, this was mentioned, this is the essence of the essence of the essence. Why three essences? The Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all scriptures. The middle six chapters are the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. And 9.34 is the essence of the middle six chapters. Therefore, this is the essence of the essence of the essence. And then, again Krishna has concluded by saying, always think of me. And to help Arjuna to think of him, Krishna starts speaking his own glorious purpose. And he says that actually, I will speak what I spoke to you in the previous chapter for your benefit in more clarity. Param bhuya pravakshami bhuya eva mahabaham shuru me paramam vacha yatteham priyamanaya paksham dhikkanyaya. Because I desire your kingdom, the benefit I will speak to you today. And what did he speak? Now, because Krishna is talking about demigod worship earlier, and he says how the demigod is subordinate to Krishna, I will demonstrate it more clearly to you. And he says how? The demigods cannot understand me, even the great rishis cannot understand me. Who can understand me? Only the Mahatma can understand me. And then he describes in Chatur Shloki Bhagavad Gita, 10.8-11. Sri Ramacharya calls this the sar of the Gita. So, the four verses, what does it say? First verse is about, you understand me as a source of everything, and then you become my devotee. You become my devotee, or how do you become a devotee? By chanting about me, thinking about me, glorifying me. So Prabhupada translates machitta very beautifully. Machitta, literal translation, we think of it. But Prabhupada translates it as the thoughts of my devotee dwell in me. That means Krishna is the mental home for his devotees. And then they describe the attitude of the devotees. But then Arjuna says, okay, yes, they may think of you, they may dedicate their lives to you, but how do they get knowledge? And knowledge is required from the brain, they don't have to worry. I will provide them knowledge. That is itself the next word. Teshavana Sittana Vistam Vriti Purtu Dadam Vriti Yodam. I give them knowledge. And Krishna glorifies his bhakti so categorically. In the 11th verse, Arjuna's heart is completely convinced. And Arjuna gives his conclusion of the Gita. This is the only place in the Bhagavad Gita when Arjuna speaks philosophy. In the 11th chapter, Arjuna is again speaking, but that is a philosophy. That is glorification of Vishwa Rupa Chintu. But this is the only place where Arjuna speaks his understanding of what Krishna has spoken. Therefore, if we accept Bhagavad Gita as authority, and if you want to know what is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, you should see what was the understanding of Arjuna. For example, you know, if a class is going on, and if I speak something, and if I am speaking this to Shambhu Govind, and he asks me some questions, and I clarify, and then he understands everything, and somebody is sitting outside, and he is also here in the class. He says, I understood the class. And he says, understanding is entirely different from his understanding. And what does that mean? He has not understood, he has only misunderstood. So like that, if anybody claims to have understood the Gita, they have to see what is the understanding of Arjuna. So what is Arjuna's understanding? Yeah, many of you know this verse, you can recite it together. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adideva Majam Nibhum. Very clear, you are a supreme person, you are the source of all the world, you are the Param Brahma. The Mayavadi say, I am Brahma. Krishna, you are not Brahma, you are Param Brahma. So actually in this, Krishna shows that he is higher than Brahman, he is higher than the demigods, he is higher than the material world. Param Dhamma, this material world is temporary, that is eternal. So Krishna Arjuna, you are a very categorical person to understand the world. And then on top of that, he says, Krishna, I accept everything that you say. Not peacefully, I like this, I don't like this. It's everything that you say. And from here onward, actually, the Bhagavad Gita is over. Now, Arjuna asks questions just to help us understand the conclusion better. So, Krishna has established Bhakti as supreme. And to help us understand that, Arjuna asks questions. So, Arjuna first asks the question, Krishna, yes, you are transcendental and your pure ones always think of you. But ordinary people will not be able to think of you constantly. So, because they are in materialistic consciousness. So, in materialistic consciousness, how can they think of you? Katham vidyam aham yogin tvam sada parichintayam keshu keshu cha bhaveshu chintyasi bhagavan maya. He says, how can people think of you when they are materialistic conscious? I am so happy with this question. Hantate kathayishyami bhuyaya atmanoni. Hanta, I am very happy with this question. It's not that Krishna likes to brag about his glory, but Krishna wants people to be elevated by being conscious of him. Then he describes Vibhuti Yoga. Now Vibhuti Yoga is sometimes is taken to be again pantheism or impersonalism. But Krishna is saying that among the mountains I am the Himalayas, among the rivers I am the Ganga, among the tigers, among the animals I am the tiger, among the enemies I am the Vyasa, among the Siddhas I am Kapila. What is this going on? What is this actually doing? Krishna is telling a general principle. Actually, in 10.8 already I said, I am the source of everything. So if the source of everything, it is the source of all munis. That's why I think I am only Kapila Muni among all the munis. The idea is that in this world, everything comes from Krishna, but not everything is attractive to our vision. So whatever is attractive to our vision, we should know that the attractiveness of that object comes from Krishna. And that principle is Krishna. And this oneness is more of representative oneness. It is not totalitarian oneness. Representative oneness means the best in every group is identical with Krishna. It's not that person is fully Krishna. You know, Krishna says, Pandavanam Ananjaya. Among the Pandavas, Krishna says, Arjuna is thinking, oh, it must be Yudhishthira, but Yudhishthira is so virtuous. Pandavanam Ananjaya. Oh, Krishna, I didn't know, we two are one. There's no need for him to say, Pavita. Arjuna doesn't do that. Arjuna understands the point that he puts. What is the point? Arjuna is the most powerful among the Pandavas in terms of Kshatriya Vaidya. And that is going to be represented over there. And then, after describing the Vibhuti, Krishna says, actually, Arjuna, what do you need to know? A fragment of myself, I pervade the whole existence. Athava bahunaitena kim yatena tapadana. What do you need to know? Vishtabhyam idam kurusam ekavishenasthum. By one amsharan, so I pervade the whole existence. And that verse, 10.42, becomes immediately the seed for the next verse after. So Arjuna, grateful to you. You know, by your enlightenment, I understood your speech, I understood the fate of the living and immortal world, I understood the supreme position. But if you want, I would like to see your call by which you pervade the world. Manyase yadi tat chakyam. Manyase yadi tat chakyam. If you think it is possible. So what does he want to say? He wants to say Rupa Aishwarya Rupa. Rupa Aishwarya. So earlier in the 9th chapter, Krishna talked about Yoga Aishwarya. Yoga Aishwarya means its connection with the material world. Now I want to see Rupa Aishwarya. How are you manifested in this world? So, Mr. Prabhupada in the early days, I agree with Prabhu. Prabhupada's disciple, so he gave the Prabhupada's name. Prabhupada, I've been joining Krishna now for 6 months. And I have been following 4 elements in Sangha for 6 months. Still, I have not seen Krishna. Actually, a devotee never thinks that he is qualified. When Krishna thinks he is qualified, Krishna will give you this. And Krishna says, yes, I will read that. And happy living matter. But this is the only chapter where there is a triple narration. First Krishna describes to Arjuna what he will see. Then Sanjay describes what to Krishna what Arjuna is seeing. And then Arjuna describes what he is seeing. So Vishwarup is described thrice. And by describing thrice, some attributes are similar, some attributes are slightly different. So actually first Vishwarup is the Vishwarup. Sahasrabahu. Anek Bahu Dharvaktunetram. There are many faces, there are many arms, there are many legs. And then you also see the Chaturbhuja Vishnu. Kirita Nandam Chakra. You get it? Chaturbhuja Rup. And you see something which is not there to see. That is the Kalarupa. Kalarupa. Kalarupa is a time, the form of death and destruction. So when Krishna showed the Vishwarupa to Mother Yashoda or he showed it to Vibhajana, he did not show the Kalarupa in that time. He showed only the Vishwarupa. Kalarupa, what is so Arjuna, if you see from verse 11, Arjuna's scripture starts. So till 19 verse, Arjuna is more than Ishwara. He's smitten. He's astonished. But then the Vismaya starts giving way to fire. So he's fearful. What is this? Now, Akshatriya had never become fearful. He is so fierce. He becomes extremely fearful. So, what does he say that? Vakrani te paramana vishanti tamshtakaralani bhayanakani kechit vilagna dashanantareshu sadrushyante chunite yuttamangai. He describes in the section 26 to 30, the fighting section. He says, what is happening? Vakrani te paramana, the big mouth, vishanti. Who are vishanti? Entering into Bhishmakse dronamcha jayadrakamcha. All the warriors in the Kaurava side are entering into that mouth. And what is that mouth characterized? Damshra Paralanicha Bhayanakani. Bhayanakani means what? Very fearful. And Damshra is deep, which is very fearful. And as they are entering in, what happens? As the warriors are entering in, some of them Sandrushyante Churite Uttamangai. Boom! As they are entering, some of them are colliding with your teeth which are coming out. And as they are colliding with their teeth, their head is exploding. And the head is exploding, all the blood is going in all directions. And what is the Vishwarupa doing? Lely, you say. Licky. It's a fighting vision. So actually, you know, this world has a dark side. See, when tsunami disaster takes place, or when the terrible disease comes and people die at that time, it's a very harsh side. But that's also reality. And Krishna is not directly the cause of that. It is our own karma which is the cause of that. But ultimately Krishna is the spin of everything. So in the fourth chapter, Krishna has told Arjuna, Arjuna perform a yajna. What I know, Arjuna? I know you wanted me to fight. You want me to become Brahman and perform yajna now? No, I want to perform for you to perform yajna on the battlefield. The battlefield? I never heard of any yajna being performed on the battlefield. This is a special yajna. What is that yajna? Since yajna you are the Brahmin. And you are Gandiva. Is the Brahmin's food. And the Kurukshetra battlefield is the Yajna Stali. And the Kauravas are the Ahuti that has to be offered. The Kauravas are the Ahuti that has to be offered. So, I never heard of a Yajna like this. Yeah, that's why I am telling you now. So, when Arjuna hears of this Yajna, what kind of Yajna is this? So then, what was told in the fourth chapter is visually demonstrated by Krishna here. And if you make the Ahuti, I as the Vishwarupa will actually accept it. As like I said, the Ahuti is eaten, the fire is considered to be the mouth of Vishnu. Entering present and all the warriors who are being killed, they are going to enter into the mouth of Vishnu. So it's a very fearful form. But why is it a fearful form? Because Mother Nature has a dark side to it also. And that dark side is not created by God, that is created by our own instincts of the Kalinga. And Arjuna becomes fear, very fearful, is it? And he asks, you know, Bhavatiya Uri Bhuta. He says, you know, Bhavan Ugra Rupa. He says, oh, Ugra Rupa, who are you? Till now, Arjuna is Twam. Even when Samanda Krishna is there, Karpanta Nisha Pahata Uchyani Twam Dharma Sambhura Cheta. I ask you. But suddenly, in this way, Krishna Rupa, that Twam becomes Bhavan. Twam means Tum. Bhavan means Aam. So, because this power is so frightening, Arjuna becomes frightened. Hey, Bhavan Ugra Rupa, who are you, great one? He asks. And then, Krishna says, the immortal of Kalo Svilo Kakshaya Kutu, time I am the destroyer of all the things. bhavishyanti sarve. Now Rute can mean except for you or without you. I say except for you everybody will be killed. That's what Prabhupada translation. Without you everybody else will also be killed. That means even if you don't fight Arjuna, all of them will be killed. But if you fight, you will get the credit. And then Krishna tells Arjuna, a clear call, a smart tishtha shola. That's why Arjuna fight and conquer again. And who is speaking this? This is Vishwarupa speaking. Now, actually when Krishna and Arjuna are discussing like this, what happens is that Arjuna and Krishna were chariots. Now what we see, in our, is that Vishwarupa picture over here? Yeah, it's shown beside, but that's a vision. It's not actually. When Arjuna was seeing the Vishwarupa, he was not seeing Krishna anywhere. And our friendship is because I belong to the glorious Kuru dynasty and you are Yadu dynasty. The Kuru dynasty is the ruler of the world, Yadu dynasty is the world. So my friendship with you is because of your kindness, my kindness. Hey Krishna, hey Yadav. Although you are Yadav of a lower dynasty, still I call you as a Sakha. So I will often sarcastic and make fun of you. Please forgive me, my God. I did not know you are great. Rajanta, my Maharam, Yachava, Hata, Tamasat Krutosi. Sometimes I lying down, sitting, walking. Sometimes alone, sometimes in front of others. I gestured with you so many times, my dear Lord. Please forgive me for all that. And he says, how will you forgive me? He says, forgive me as a seva putrasya sakheva sakhyu priya priyaya rasudeva sohu. Also, he has seen Krishna in Vishwarupa. Still, that affection is there. He says, just as a father forgives his son, just as a friend forgives a friend, or just as a lover forgives a beloved, please forgive me, my dear Lord. Then he says, Krishna, Krishna, I hope this group is wonderful, but please show me your Saumya Rupa. Show me your first Senaiva Rupe Chaturbhuja. First show me your Chaturbhuja and then come back to the Saumya Rupa. So actually before that Krishna is in the Kala Rupa. At that time, two analogies are used to describe how all living beings are destroyed. The first is Sanadina Bhavam Duvega. Samudra neva vimukha garanti. It's just as river enters into the ocean. Like that, all living beings are entering into you. Now, the second example is Yatha pratitam jalanam patangaha. Just as the fire enters into the earth. Now, both of them are natural. Both of them happen in nature. But, the Chakravarti Parashurya Acharya, Vedanta Shikha is a very famous Acharya in the Rishi Sampradaya, Aframacharya. He gives a very beautiful answer. Of this, he says, when a river enters into ocean, like butterless people sometimes say, whether you are a devotee or a non-devotee, ultimately you are going to die. And when you die, you are nobody going to remember you, people are going to forget you, your body will get destroyed. So what difference does it make whether you are a devotee or non-devotee? So he gives an analogy based on these two words. He says that when a river flows to the ocean, three things happen. First is, the river flows to the ocean, benefits all the people on the way to the flow of the ocean. Like that, a devotee, when he is going through his journey towards God, by his existence, he benefits people all around. And he says, when the river reaches the ocean, what happens at that time? The river's water does not change or lose its nature. The water stays as it is. On the other hand, he says, when a moth moves towards the fire, is anyone benefited by the moth moving towards the fire? Nobody benefited. Similarly, when materialistic person is under attention, nobody is benefited by that. And when the moth enters into the fire, what happens? The moth body is burned completely. reduced to ashes. Whereas in the water enters into the ocean, nothing like that happens. So he says, a devotee lives in spiritual consciousness while in the material world also. When he returns to the spiritual world, he continues to live in spiritual consciousness. Whereas materialists, they are mocked when they enter into the fire. He lives in one body, but when that body is destroyed, all his aspirations are over. A devotee lives in this world to serve Krishna, a devotee leaves this world and goes to the next world also to serve Krishna. And then Krishna says, Arjuna, Krishna, please show me your two-handed form. Why? Maya prasanne natavajinedam. Arjuna, by your request, happily I show you my Vishnu. Now here, see my Chaturu Vishnu. And then he shows his form there. And then after describing his whole wonders, his whole wonderful description, and Krishna makes a very categorical assertion. It is of the supremacy of bhakti. The way you are seeing me now in a two-handed form, Deva Chaturupasya Yukyam Darshana Kamachina. Even the devatas long to see me in this form, but they don't understand. And how can one see this form? Aham Vedayana Tatata Nidane Vichai Jaya Shakya Evam Vidho Drashtu Drashtavan Simanita. Not by study of Vedas, not by Vavishya, not by Tapasya, not by Jnana. Only where is only? Tyakamanya Shakya Aham Evam Vidho Arjuna. You can know it only by bhakti. In this way, how to practice bhakti? That is described in the 50th verse, Matkarma from Matkarma. And Prabhupada described this verse is from my absolute of Bhagavad-gita. How to practice bhakti at our level? He described that. And then when he completes the 11th chapter, he is Krishna, Arjuna asks a question. Now why is Arjuna asking questions? It is because he was carrying on Krishna's 19th. Krishna, Krishna is always Vishwarupa. It is too costly and all pervading. And now I understand that this Vishwarupa comes from you. But there is also this Brahman, which is all pervading. So, where does that come from? And what happens to those who worship that Brahman? So he asks that those who worship the impersonal Brahman and those who worship you, among them, who is that? Very clear question, which is impersonal to which worship better or personal worship. And Krishna answers equal clarity. He says, yes, my rules are the best. Those who worship in person, they will also come to me. But their path is filled with glacier. And he contrasts. He says, their path is filled with glacier. Whereas for my devotee, Tesham Maham Samudrata Nitya Santara Sagara. For my devotee, I will quickly uplift them from the cycle of birth and death. So he makes it very clear. For the impersonalist, their path is very slow and difficult. For the devotees, I will take it quickly. So this is what is the difference? Slow and difficult, quick and easy. That is the difference between bhakti and impersonalism. And then Krishna's heart is filled with so much eagerness that Arjuna and all people practice bhakti, then he uses multiple levels of bhakti. So always think of me, in the same way you live in me. But Arjuna says, that's so difficult, I cannot always think of you. So okay, then I should practice thinking of you. This Arjuna says, no, I cannot think of you as a constant. Okay, then you do seva for me. I cannot do seva for you. Okay, you do whatever you offer, what you want, but you offer the fruits to me. I can't offer the fruits to you. Okay, Baba, if you can't offer the fruits to me, at least offer the fruit to some good cause and become selfless. So Krishna is so accommodating in multiple levels. At least do something and say Krishna. And then in this way, after offering multiple levels of bhakti as options, according to the level of the individual, then Krishna concludes a chapter by describing the qualities of a devotee that endures. So why does he love a devotee? One reason, of course, because he is a devotee. But a devotion is not a strength. Devotion manifests itself as very wonderful qualities. And the main quality that Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita is equanimity. So the equipoise among happiness and distress. The bhakti described in the Bhagavad Gita is relatively more stoic. Stoic means very calm, equipoise. The bhakti described in the Bhagavad Gita is very different from the bhakti described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Dancing, singing, falling in ecstasy, becoming unconscious, crying tears. Krishna doesn't talk about that sort of bhakti in the Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because Arjuna is already crying tears and is sleeping for the wrong reasons. So, when somebody is overwhelmed by mental emotions, you tell him what spiritual emotions are that time. What will happen is, he will just think my mental emotions are spiritual. That's all. He will not understand the difference between them. That's why, you know, we don't talk about Radha Krishna's intimate pastimes with new people. Why? Because they think they are just like ordinary viable deeds. So,
spiritual emotions are the goal.
And Krishna hints at them several places in the Gita. We'll discuss that tomorrow, how he hints at spiritual emotions. But the primary symptom of bhakti which Krishna talks about is the bhagavad gita is fixed in service and equipoised amid material ups and downs. And then he says, one develops all these qualities, ye dharma mitamidam yathoktam paripasate shraddhanam atparana bhaktasti teevame priya. The devotee is very dear to Krishna, very very dear to me. And this way, by this, there is no parallel to this anywhere till now in the Gita. Teevame priya, extremely dear to me. And the only parallel that will come is this, all the devotees are dear to me. But so what is Chakravarti Pada explanation? Every word describes some quality. So if you have this quality, you are dear to me. If you have this quality, you are dear to me. If you have this quality, you are dear to me. But if you have all these qualities, then you are most dear to me. And then only expression like this will come, very near to me, will come in the 18th chapter. And Krishna will talk about the preacher of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna ends the bhakti section with this very sweet and intense expression of such a devotee is very near to me. So the 7th chapter started, the bhakti section started by the devotee who has fixed his mind on me. Manya Satpamana Par. And it ends with the devotee who has fixed his mind on me, he is so near to me. So what has Krishna done in this 6 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, middle of this chapter? He has actually established the supremacy of bhakti over Ashtanga Yoga. He has established the supremacy of bhakti over demigod worship. He has established the supremacy of bhakti over impersonal worship. He has established the supremacy of bhakti over the Vishwarupa Puja, Vishwarupa Pasana. And he has also expressed his love for his devotee. He has expressed the glory of bhakti in his capacity to elevate even the most fallen people, to give eternal results, and to be accessible even to those who are permanently fallen. So in this way, Krishna unequivocally glorifies the supremacy of bhakti in the middle of chapter. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Rupa ki jai.